Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In Texas, it's estimated that 70% of the kids in the juvenile justice system are suffering from mental health problems. After budget cuts coming from the last legislative session, the state-run Texas Juvenile Justice Department is considering or will be closing a mental health facility for kids. Lawmakers are backpedaling, and the future of how the state cares for the mental health of its incarcerated youth is in question, and there are new laws that allows county juvenile systems to tackle the issue for themselves. We're joined by Mike Griffiths, the executive director of the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, to talk about what is coming, and welcome to The Source, Mr. Griffiths.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So today there are some developments about the Corsicana Youth Facility that we have heard from the Speaker Joe Strauss, or no, actually from Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst today, saying that the facility will be phased down and it will be closed. So is that your understanding of what's going to be happening?
We saw that article, too, in the Austin American-Statesman, so we're reviewing it now. We have a meeting with Lieutenant Governor's staff and the speaker's staff next week to kind of discuss this issue. So, again, from our point of view, we certainly appreciate their attention to it and need a definitive direction so we can move forward.
This was supposed to happen about a month ago, wasn't it, that there was a call for, or at least 2 weeks ago, for a final decision of what to do with the Corsicana facility. And there was no money in the budget to continue the facility because, I mean, it was first opened in 1887 as an orphanage. And there's people are saying that it would require millions of dollars actually to get it up to a satisfactory level to meet the mission for the juvenile justice system, right?
Oh, that's correct. And again, we've been scrubbing through our appropriations for this biennium to look at funds to continue the operation while the Legislative Budget Board reaches their decision on what to do with that facility.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit and talk and lay the groundwork for our listeners about what is happening here. So the Corsicana Youth Facility for the Juvenile Justice System is where a lot of the mental health work happened for many of the minors who are part of the system.
That's true. It's where our male population that are aged 10 through 18 receive acute mental health care. Again, on any given day in our state system, we have over 1,000 youth. And today we have 66 young people at our Corsicana facility, and they do get good care. I hope your listeners understand that. We have a very qualified staff, support from University of Texas Medical Branch at Galveston. And so it's never been the question about the care. For us, it's just the age of the facility, and I know that's the challenging point for leadership is to look at those and balance that. We want the best for these young people, and we're very confident that our staff are doing a great job there. It's just the structure that's so old and what's available for youth to do things to hurt themselves. When you have a facility that's over 130 years old, you can imagine the debris that's laden in just every part of that campus. So, again, we do appreciate their review of it and are anticipating a decision as quickly as possible.
Yeah, being phased out, that's the term that we heard from Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst. Not really clear on what that means. Do you know what that means?
Well, again, we'll get clarification from both the Lieutenant Governor's staff and Speaker Strauss's staff, but we're hopeful that it means that we can transition the youth in a timely way because, again, these youth are very fragile. They're very sick young people, and so we do need time to transition them to an appropriate setting. That setting right now, as listed in our recommended plan, was our facility in Mart, Texas, for the short term. We hope to carry forward a plan in the next biennium in our legislative appropriations request for the long-term solution, the ideal solution that would have youth in a setting that is in a metropolitan area, near a teaching hospital, near medical staff, and ample clinical care staff. So we laid that out in the plan that the are board approved in August, and we submitted to the Legislative Budget Board on August 31st.
So you talk about these youths, these minors, as being very fragile. They've been through some terrible situations, home lives, with a lot of family violence. Maybe they've been through human trafficking, lots of issues, and they have mental health issues as a result of that, or on top of these issues, but now they're in the juvenile justice system. How well, you know, equipped is the juvenile justice system to actually be an administrator to deal with, you know, minors with some severe mental health issues?
I think Texas is uniquely qualified in that regard. Again, it's not the traditional place for youth that have that severity of mental health, but again, it's been the responsibility of the agency for decades to handle those youth. So we have qualified psychiatrists, therapists, case managers, and even a staff, a staff that truly cares about these young people, and they create as close to a family-like environment as they can. But again, we have great partners. I mean, we partner with the Hogg Foundation, the MacArthur Foundation. We utilize the services of the University of Texas Campus on Excellence for Mental Health. When we have specific needs, we reach out to clinical care providers across the country. So, again, I really want to reinforce to listeners that it's not a matter of quality of care. It's just the circumstances of that facility that we're most concerned about.
And what were those circumstances? Just the age to 126 year old facility?
Well, the age of the facility, and as you can imagine, in a building that's been in existence from almost 130 years, some of the facilities have been changed and modified. There's been construction after construction. There is debris in areas. We've fenced off several areas of the campus to prevent youth from getting to that type of thing that might hurt them. One of the antecedents of the mental health situations a lot of these kids are in are what we call non-suicidal self-harm. But again, we want to prevent any type of hurtful environment for them. So putting them in a location with the same quality mental health staff is our goal. I've been to the facility several times in the last 6 months, and I'm always impressed with the care they get. We have advocacy groups that have partnered with us to review cases of these young people. They say the same thing. It's not the quality of care that the youth are getting. It's the environment that promotes glass, tile, things that youth who want to hurt themselves could use to actually injure themselves.
Yeah, according to the Austin American Statesman, that there is a significant broken glass, asbestos on the grounds, things that pose a danger to the mentally ill youths, and that there's a chronic lack of qualified staff that has impaired its treatment programs. We're going to get more on that. I want to get your reaction to that when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. This is The Source on KSTX. We're speaking with Mike Griffiths. He's the executive director of the Texas Juvenile Justice Department. We do want to hear from our listeners. Give us a call at 614-8980 if you've had some contact with this Texas Juvenile Justice Department, and what you think, how the job that they're doing. We're going to be right back after this break. This is KSTX.
Good afternoon. It's 3:45. I'm Steve Short with a look at San Antonio traffic. There is an accident reported on eastbound Highway 90 at Zarzamora. The exit is closed at Zarzamora. Also, there's still a stalled vehicle westbound Highway 90 at Callahan on the left shoulder, causing a little bit of slowing. It's going to be mostly cloudy tonight with a low around 51. It'll be partly sunny on Friday with a high near 75. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 62 degrees in San Antonio.
KSTX thanks the following business members for their financial support. Bliss Restaurant, La Hood and Del Cueto, PLLC, the Law Offices of Malaise Law Firm, Architectural Glass Metal Design, Rothrock and Reitmeyer, PC, Attorneys at Law, Customer Service Advocates for Credit Cards, Student Loans, and Credit Reports, and Creative Floral Designs by Helene. Details about business membership are at tpr.org.
You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Months after lawmakers cut millions of dollars in its funding for the Texas Juvenile Justice Department and ordered the closure of a detention facility in Corsicana, which was being used to take care of the mentally ill youth that were in the system, that we have finally gotten word from Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst that they will allow that facility to be phased out rather than outright shut down, which was the initial plan. We're joined by Mike Griffiths. He's the Executive Director of the Texas Juvenile Justice Department to talk about what's happening with the Texas Juvenile Justice Department. So there were funding cuts in the last legislative session for your department. How bad was it?
Well, again, for you and your listeners, we received funding to enhance mental health services for our community probation departments. So the Texas Juvenile Justice Department has responsibility not only for the state secure programs that are operated by Texas Juvenile Justice Department, but also for the 168 probation departments. So while we got reduced funding for the operation of our secure facilities, we had enhanced dollars for the community to hopefully prevent youth from coming into our system. The reductions, in our estimation, would mean that we could only operate five facilities. So the funding cuts were parallel to the direction of the appropriations bill to actually have a closure occur, you know, by January 1st, 2014.
And there's a new law that went into effect that allows counties to, in order to keep their youth who may have gone into the system, now they're trying to treat them in their own county system. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's true. In fact, it's targeted for Travis County, and that bill goes into effect January 1st as well. And again, we are working with Travis County officials, and again, any type of model that will help youth stay closer to their families while protecting, you know, the public is very, very welcome.
So that would just be Travis County? It wouldn't impact Bear, Harris, Dallas County?
It could be that expanded version that could have other counties. They have to want to be into that system, and so far Travis County has stepped forward and said that they are willing to work within that bill to divert youth from our system. Now, the bill also has a particular provision that youth that are accused of very serious sexual offenses do come to the Texas Juvenile Justice Department.
Now,
but absent of that, it would be a commitment process that the counties would retain rather than turning those youth over to the state.
What is the process? How does a minor end up in the Texas Juvenile Justice Department?
Okay. Well, there's a few things right off the bat. First, to get into a commitment situation to the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, you have to be adjudicated for a felony offense. And so that certainly raises the bar to about 15% of the offenses committed by youth in any given year. From that point, then it's up to the juvenile court to determine the best disposition option for youth. So what we see most often, David, is that counties try many alternatives before they relinquish their authority over the case and commit the youth to us. So last year we had 818 youth committed by the 168 juvenile probation departments across the state. That's significant, and I hope listeners realize that represents a 33% reduction over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of commitments. We've seen that parallel in juvenile crime rates that are decreasing across the state. So that's encouraging, especially in light of the youthful population in our state increases an average of about 2% every year. So as we see more and more adolescents in our state, we're seeing fewer youth actually having to go into the state system for secure care. And that's a testament to what counties across this state are doing to divert youth out of our state system.
But so I would imagine that that means the ones that you do have in the system, they are they're special cases.
They really are. You know, they have special needs. They've exhausted oftentimes all the resources the counties in that particular jurisdiction have to offer, and so they do have some unique needs when they reach us.
So I can imagine the issues over at Corsicana, because of the age of the facility and wasn't designed for this, originally was an orphanage. Not only is it the safety of the minors, but also for the staff.
It really is. I mean, and believe me, our highest concentration of seasoned professionals are there at Corsicana. And so they approach these youth in a very special way. And they've received training for that. We have ongoing in-services to help them. But it does take a very special individual to work with adolescents in especially confined area, and especially with youth in a confined area that have acute mental illness.
What happens when they age out of the juvenile justice system?
Well, oftentimes what we see is that there's a transition and a continuity of care plan. And ideally, we have homes for those youth to go to. You know, again, it's the challenge of our staff and our partners in the community mental health system to bridge that youth coming in back into the community. Most of them will return home, thankfully. We reach out to local mental health authorities to help bridge those services. And so that's ideally what happens.
So they're not immediately just transitioned into the adult system?
Oh, no, sir, no. The vast majority of these youth will actually return and finish their sentences and go into the community in their homes or guardian's location. We do have a qualified number of youth that are in our system under what's called determinate sentence. And those youth have committed some very, very serious crimes, and the prosecutors and the juvenile courts and then ultimately a jury, if that's so chosen by the defendant, they've determined that youth have to have long lengths of a sentence. And so for, again, 12% to 13% of the youth in our system, they are looking at 20, 30-year sentences. They will do the initial part of that sentence in the Texas Juvenile Justice Department. There's a review by a juvenile court of their progress. Going with that youth will be our staff to represent how well the youth has done or how well or how poorly they've done. The juvenile court then makes the determination if they have to be transferred in the adult system. It is fewer youth than you imagine, but it is a possibility for some of those youth to be remanded into the adult system.
Now, our listeners may remember that, I guess it was about 7 years ago, that there was quite the scandal with the Texas Youth Commission, which was the predecessor to the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, where there was a systemized sexual abuse going on with some of the minors there.
That's true. And again, the agency is established from that point on through Senate Bill 103 and the legislative session in 2009 and on past that, is zero tolerance to that. They've added many, many protections. We have a separate law enforcement agency through the Inspector General's office. We have immediate hotlines. We have cameras in all of our facilities. We have regress for youth rights specialists. We have an ombudsman that operates independently that interviews these youth. So we're trying very, very hard not to repeat the problems that occurred in the past.
But that's still, it's It's a specter that it will be hard to shake for you guys. I mean, wasn't there an incident like a couple of years ago in Giddings with youth being traded back and forth for packs of cigarettes?
Well, there certainly have been incidents where, whether it's a large facility disturbance or incidents like you just mentioned, that do occur. And so it's up to leadership in this agency to make sure that those things don't happen. And you've seen some leadership changes as a result of that. Again, with this population, we always have to be mindful of that potential, especially when you consider that as some leadership has identified that about 54% of these youth are actually adults that are incarcerated in our system.
So why is it?
There's no excuse. You know, that there's no excuse for anything that would be harmful to persons under our care.
So why has it been so hard to get clear direction on what to do with Corsicana? Even today's news coming from Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst, there's still it's not clear, and we're still waiting to see if Joe Strauss, the speaker, is going to sign on to that.
You know, again, I can't speak for leadership. Certainly that's not my role. I know it's a very difficult decision. We all want best for these young people, balancing community protection and their mental health needs. And so I think they're being very deliberate in the review of options. And, I'm sure that we'll get direction very soon. We have regular meetings with our internal staff about the status of those youth. We marshal the mental health experts, our health director, our education specialist, our treatment providers, and we actually meet weekly in terms of where are we with the status of these youth. So we've really watched it closely, you know.
Mike Griffith, thank you so much. Executive Director of the Texas Juvenile Justice Department, talking about some developments happening with the system today, getting some clarity about what's going to happen to the Corsicana facility. And this is The Source on KSTX. Thank you so much for tuning us in. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This week on Texas Matters, Wendy is running, and will Leticia join her? It's all but official that State Senator Leticia Vandepute, a San Antonio Democrat, will announce that she's running for Lieutenant Governor. Will her entry into the race shake up state politics, or is Texas still too red for it to make a difference? That's on Texas Matters, Friday at 3:30 on KSTX 89.1 FM.
Nationally ranked by U.S. News & World Report, University Hospital is also named Best Hospital in San Antonio 3 years in a row and 6th Best Hospital in Texas, offering academic medicine in partnership with UT Medicine. University Health System has earned magnet status, a measurement of strength and quality of nursing care. Learn more at universityhealthsystem.com. This nonprofit message was underwritten by University Health System. The following business members help make the programming possible on KSTX. The Law Office of Letty G. Gavito, Antiques at Broadway, Provenir, Recruiting, Staffing, and HR Consulting in Healthcare and Life Sciences, San Antonio Bike Tours, Tamez Refrigeration and AC, and Mac TLC Apple Specialists. Learn more about business membership at tpr.org.
This is KSTX, San Antonio. Good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock.